It's Chevy truck season, and there's no better time to do what you do best. No better time to get the job done in a Chevy Silverado with best-in-class standard torque and a Turbomax engine with a 5-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty that outlasts both Ford and Ram. So kick off whatever your thing is season right, because it all starts with a Chevy truck.
See your Bay Area Chevy dealers today.
Based on latest competitive data, excludes other GM vehicles, whichever comes first. See dealer for limited warranty details based on Ford and Ram 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty on gasoline engines.
Welcome back to Extra Innings on KNBR, the sports leader. My guest today, I've got to know a lot in the past few years. He's been pitching coach for 14 years with the San Francisco Giants after a great career of 11 years in Major League Baseball. He started an instructional league in 2008, and this year it's coming to an end in the professional level as he has taken a head coaching job at Indiana University of Pennsylvania, IUP, and that's outside Pittsburgh. Let's welcome in Steve Klein today. How you doing, Steve?
Yeah, Bill, how's everything going out there?
Doing really good, Steve, and I want to congratulate you on your next move. Of course, you're going to be the head coach at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Tell us a little bit about that move, and how did that all come about?
Well, you know, I love coaching in the minor leagues, and I had a great time in professional baseball, but I just think it's time for me to be around my kids and my family a little bit more. And I came to a tough decision, and I thought this was a perfect move. And, you know, the perks are a little bit better in the college ranks, so I decided to pack up the family, and we're moving back to the farm area. And it's close to home, and where I grew up in Pennsylvania, and so I get to see my brothers and my mom and dad. I think this works out perfect for me. Perfect situation. Well,
yeah, and I congratulate you for that. That's a big move, especially 14 years as a pitching coach in the minor leagues with the San Francisco Giants. Let's talk right now about the Richmond Flying Squirrels. That's where you are at the present time. And let's talk about the current roster. Sean Jelly right off the bat, the 6'11" starter. How has he been throwing recently?
He's been good. He had a little back problem about a month ago and gave him a little setback. But he's locked and loaded. He's been really good the last couple of times out. His changeup's improved immensely. He's, he still has to work on his breaking ball a little bit. He still kind of gets around the side of the ball a little bit. We're trying to get him to go through it a little bit better. But his sinker's been pretty good. And he throws strikes. Sometimes he throws too many strikes, I think, and he gets into the rut of, I'm going to challenge you at the wrong times. And, you know, when he falls behind a little bit, I mean, we're trying to work on a little bit more of an off speed sometimes with when he falls behind and get some easy rollouts on a changeup or something.
Hey, Steve, being 6'11", is it difficult for a pitcher of that height to try to get the ball down? Is it difficult in other pitches that he throws being so tall?
Hector, you were tall, too. You know how that thing works. You got a lot of moving parts, so for him to get out and get out front, and everything has to be longer, and so we're trying to stay him tall, and we just got to get his front side from being too quick. Once his front side gets quick, his hand drops down a little bit to the side, and then he kind of gets, like I said, around the ball or underneath it and kind of pushes it, and then it kind of flattens out, and it's pretty easy to be, see. So we're trying to get him to keep that front side on it a little bit longer, have a little bit more deception, and I think that's going to help him in the future.
Another starter that's thrown the ball really well for Richmond is Caleb Killian. Can you tell us a little bit about what his makeup is?
Yeah, this kid, he's going to be a good one. I just think he's got the intangibles. He's a Texas Tech Raider, I think, where he went to college. And he's pretty much, he can throw his fastball where he wants to. He's got a curveball. He's got a little cutter. He's got a good feel. He pitches in. He can, spot away. He can repeat different spots on the thing. Holds runners. He's been really good. I was very impressed with him so far. His demeanor. He doesn't get really rattled, and can keep his composure real well. So that to me is the key for him. He's mentally strong compared to some other players.
Well, I tell you, I've been watching a couple arms in that bullpen, and maybe you can tell me a little bit about Joey Marciano. His numbers are just electric, and he's got electric stuff. Talking to Gary Davenport about a month ago, he was so impressed with Joey. Tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, Joey's got some good stuff. He's 98 from the left side with, good off speed. Sometimes he falls in love with his off speed more than his fastball. And, he just needs to locate a little bit better with this, to be consistent up in the big leagues. But if the ball comes out of his hand good, and I mean, he competes. He needs to work on the off the field stuff, but mostly the on field, like the fielding and the base running. I think that's the thing that he has to get a little bit more in depth to and learn how to do a little bit better. The pitching stuff is easy for him. I think the other stuff is the stuff he has to work on.
Well, the closer up there is R.J. Dabovich, and he has been real good for the Richmond Flying Squirrels, and, of course, he's got many saves for him. Tell me what his repertoire features.
He likes to throw high fastballs and curveballs. He's the typical whatever they want to call it today's world, the up and down type of guy. He's got a good breaking ball. When that's on he's tough to hit. If he struggles, that's when he gets himself in trouble if he can't get his breaking ball landed. So, but he can throw his fastball in different spots too. So it's but I know they kind of portray him as a up and down type guy. So, but he comes in. He's ready to come in from the bullpen, ready to pitch. He reminds me a little bit of John Rocker. comes flying in there, ready to go. But it's I like it. He's intense. So I like it.
A couple players that got moved up from Eugene to Richmond, I'd like to hear what your impressions are. Will Wilson and Diego Rincones, both of these guys are very top prospects, high prospects with the Giants organization. What have you seen so far from them?
Yeah, Will Wilson's just a solid fielder, just does the little things really well. He can hit a fastball. I mean, that's a good thing. He can catch up to it. It took him a couple of weeks to just adjust here to the, a lot of breaking balls in Double A. Now everybody wants to throw breaking balls. But he's been making the adjustments, and he's getting them to miss with that. And then he's now, laying off the bad stuff, and he's getting his pitch to hit, and he's pumping it pretty good. He's smacking it pretty good around.
What about Diego Rincones? What has he done so far since he's been moved up?
Yeah, Rincones is he's a big boy. He can swing it. Yeah, I don't think he has a neck. He looks like a caveman. That's what the best thing about him is. And he portrays like he's a big, strong guy. And he can hit the ball a long way. He just needs to work on his fielding a little bit. I think, in the outfield, they got to take it more serious a little bit. And I think when he takes that thing serious and he wants to become a well-rounded player, he can do it.
Steve Klein joining me on Extra Innings. Of course, the name that got moved up to AAA this week is Eliot Ramos. And you have seen him this year in Richmond. And he's gone some, he's had some highs and some lows. He's gone through some negatives where he's been swinging out of the zone. But then the last couple weeks, he's been really hitting the ball solid. What have you seen in him and his transformation from now from Richmond going up to Sacramento? And what do you think he needs to work on?
For me, he's a pretty solid outfielder. He gets good jumps on balls in the outfield. Got a good arm. He just has to learn what the game dictates. I think whatever the scoreboard dictates, he has to learn how to do it. Like, if it tells you to throw the ball to second base, you have to throw it to second base. I think he still thinks he's Vladimir Guerrero, where, he just comes up and throws sometimes, and you're just like, no, we want you to throw it to this base to stop, the tying run from getting on second, and something like that for him on defensively side. Offensively, like you said, he gets a little excited and chases some pitches, and he falls in patterns. He's not really getting to see a lot of good pitches. Everybody keeps pitching him really tough. And then, he gets frustrated and he starts chasing off the plate a little bit. And he puts himself into a slump. When he just stays calm and he's relaxed and he's having fun, the ball, goes off his bat really well. I just think he sometimes tries to force the power, and he puts himself into a little slump. So when he's nice, relaxed, and under control, it's a beautiful swing, and he does some good things. He's got some speed. He can run some bases. So he's got some tools. We just got to make sure he knows how, when to use them. That's the big thing.
Well, Steve, as your career ends, 14 years as a professional pitching coach, you started, like I said, an instructional league in 2008. You went up to Augusta, San Jose, Richmond for 5 years, Sacramento for a couple years. You have seen over 40 pitchers come through your neck of the woods in each one of these places, and they've all reached the major league. Some of the guys, Wheeler, Rustler, Casilla, Stratton, Romo, Lincecum, Bumgarner, some great names you have coached in through the minor leagues as they have adjusted to get to the big leagues, and most of these guys have had a pretty good big leagues career. When you're overlooking over 40 pitchers getting to the big leagues, what do you think was the biggest successful thing that you have taught these guys?
Just mentality. I think you just got to find out what each guy really does well, and you make them believe that they're King Kong every time out there. And I think you know how it is as a big leaguer. You got to go out there, and you're pitching against really good hitters, and they're going to beat you once in a while, but your mentality is, you know, not today. And I think these kids all had what it takes when they have that mental toughness. And it's that's the grind of the game. And I think people don't understand how tough that grind is until you actually lived it. And it's like any day, everyday life type thing, you know. Whatever they're throwing at you, it's all part of it. That's our saying, you know, it's all part of it. And you just got to deal with what comes in front of you, and you adapt, you know. You compromise, and you move on, and you adjust. And I think these kids all have that quality. They can all make adjustments. You know, Timmy could throw fastballs when he first got up there, and they learned some breakables. They learned to split. They learned to change. You know, same thing with Matty Cain and, you know, Timmy Lincecum. I mean, he made some good, you know, his demeanor was so great. Zach Wheeler, I mean, he was a gem to work with. This kid was an absolute, I mean, great arm. I mean, we traded him away for that Beltre, and I cried, I think, that night, but that's okay. I mean, we got a good player in Carlos Beltre, but I was like, I just thought this kid, the world of this kid. And like I said, the ones that make it up that you didn't think were going to get there is the ones you're the most proud of, you know. And, and I'll give a compliment out to, you know, our former boss, Mr. Dick Tidrow, who passed away. He never cared about age or anything. He just thought what he can do to help the Giants, and that's one of the things that he always taught me and instilled in me. He was like, I don't care how old the kid is, what he looks like, whatever. He goes, what can he do to make the Giants better? And that was what our approach was to all these young pitchers. And it was a recipe for success. And like I said, I was proud to see the team go through those World Series. And, you know, you just sit back and you're like, man, I got to see some of the best kids at that time. I mean, look at Romo. I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, this guy threw 85, 86, and he's still pitching. And he's still getting people out, you know. And that's what makes you happy. You just see guys that you had a little part to say something in, and they all respected you, and they all, you know, they love the game, and they honor the game that we played, and hopefully they pass it on what I've learned from my Hershisers and, you know, Charles Nagy and Dennis Martinez and Pedro, you know, Martinez stuff, and then Maddox, and they pass it on to the next generation, and, you know, then next year they're doing fantasy camp with, you know, with Bill Lasky and having some fun.
We'll be right back with Steve Klein on KNBR, the sports leader. Welcome back to Extra Innings. Second part of Steve Klein coming up. Well, Steve, it started from way back when. It started where you grew up in Sunbury, Pennsylvania. You went to Lewisburg High School in Pennsylvania. You ended up going to West Virginia University and played baseball there. And then you turned on to an 11-year Major League Baseball career as a left-handed starter when you started, and then ended up being a reliever. Three consecutive seasons you led Major League Baseball in appearances. That was 1999 to 2001. When you start looking back at your career, some of the things, the highlights that you had, some of the ways that you got up every day and got into the games, the game has changed, no doubt about it. What were your thoughts when you were playing back then of pitching in so many of these games and so many high-leverage games as a top reliever?
My dad told me a long time ago, he goes, when you take that ball, you sign a contract to pitch. That's your job. So when you – if they ask you to pitch, you pitch. You don't care if you're hurt, sore, beat up. That teammate needs you right now. Maybe your teammate's out there struggling on the mound, or your team needs a build-up, you know, a pickup, or, you know, and you need to get out there and help. That's your job. You just put your piece of the puzzle in. You go out and you work your butt off, and you pitch when they tell you to pitch. You don't manage. You don't dictate anything. You just pitch when they tell you. That's what you signed on the dotted line, and I never forget that. You know, every day I got a chance to pitch, I always thought if I didn't pitch today and we gave up a hit to a lefty that maybe I was supposed to face, and we lost or, you know, getting to the playoffs by one game, you always look back at it and go, man, I could have been that guy that screwed us because I didn't pitch that game, you know. And that's the way I approached it. I was like, I'm going to pitch every day until my arm falls off. And that's, you know, basically what I did.
And you did that really well. I mean, when you start looking at the number, 682 and a third innings pitched, you had 39 saves, 796 games. You only gave up 60 home runs, and I'm saying that because that's a feat that is really well in your career. One of the things that I've always remembered was the Steve Kline hat, and the Cardinals ended up putting that in their Hall of Fame. I guess you couldn't wear that hat in these days, huh?
No, man. I'd be getting checked every 5 seconds, but I don't know if they want to smell it because there was some stuff on there that wasn't kosher, but. Like I said, that was an old tribute to my my grandfather's and those, and from my hometown of all the coal miners. You know, that's right. Why I did that. It was just a little tip back to them that said I put my working hat on just like you did back in the day. So, but yeah, now they would confiscate it, and I'd be probably suspended for 15 games, and then probably 10 more for yelling at the umpire. And then I'd be, you know.
Well, I tell you what was the greatest thing when you came in. You couldn't even see the St. Louis mark on the hat. You had so much dirt and grime and pine tar and everything else that was on that hat. And that's what I remembered so well of you. But at the same time, in 2002, the St. Louis Cardinals had a Steve Kline hat day. And in that same year, you put up some fantastic numbers, 89 appearances, 3-3 with a 1.8 earned run average. And these are the stats I was just so impressed with. As left-handers came up, you did not give up one home run to a left-hander that year. And even on top of that, not even an extra base hit to a left-hander. And you got a vote for MVP of the National League. How about that year? Was that pretty good for you?
Yeah, it must have been a down year in the league for some other people. But no, I was just locked in. That was one of those years, a career year, where you just throw the ball and, you know, unfortunately, I think we lost to the your boys there, the Giants.
Yeah, you did.
You know? Yeah, Kenny Lofton, old teammate, beat me.
Yeah,
he got a base hit. And, you know, David Bell scored. And I'll never forget the day I came up to the office with the Giants, and there's my picture on the side of the wall. Me and the Cardinal uniform, walking with my head down, and those guys celebrating right in front of me. And Brian Sabin used to just love ragging me about it. He was always like, "Hey, I see you every day on the wall." Thanks. He's always like, "Thanks for the putting my kids through school." I'm like, "Oh, God." But no, it was great. I mean, like I said, that was an unbelievable team they had there. And I just had a good, like I said, I had great teammates. I had Mike Matheny behind the plate. He just called a great game every day. And Yachty was coming up through. And, my fielders were unbelievable. I had a gold glover, I think, at every spot. So for me, it was just easy to throw the ball to the plate and get out of the way, you know, and let the big boys, you know, do their job.
That voice you're listening to right now in Extra Innings is the pitching coach for the Richmond Flying Squirrels, a good friend of mine, Steve Kline. Steve, this time of the show where I ask you if you remember who owned you and who did you own in Major League Baseball. So I'm going to throw out a couple names here, and you tell me if you thought you owned them on the mound or did they get more hits than you thought. Let's go to Todd Helton from the Colorado Rockies. How do you think you did against Todd Helton?
I think Todd Helton got more hits when nobody was on than with guys on base. But he hit the ball pretty good against me. We faced each other all the way through the minor leagues.
So and you're right. 8 for 25. Hits. 8 for 25. He hit .320 off you. What about Moises Alou?
Moises took me deep in Chicago one time. I think that was it, really. I think I did pretty good against Moises. I think I got him like maybe 1 for 7 or something like that, I'm guessing.
That's good. That was good. 1 for 9. 1 for 9. He hit 111, and that only hit was a home run. What about Sean Casey? Sean Casey, big lefty, always moving in the box. How do you think you did against Sean Casey?
I owned him. He was like maybe one hit now, 30-some of bats, I'm thinking.
Boy, you're good so far. 3 for 27, 111. Pretty good right now. What about? He got three hits out of 27 at bats. Not bad, right there. Let's go to Bobby Abreu. Pretty good hitter, good contact hitter.
Yeah, he killed me until I realized he couldn't hit inside on 2 strikes. He sat on breaking balls, and I kept throwing them and kept hitting them. So he owed me.
No, absolutely not. 2 for 19. 2 for 19. 105.
He must have killed me when we were in the minor leagues.
Well, let me throw you some other ones besides Ken Griffey Jr. You were six for 15 off you. He got a double off you, batted 400. Mike Piazza only faced you six times. He got three hits. Yeah. Alex Rodriguez. What do you think Alex Rodriguez did against you?
Two for four, I think he was.
3 for 5, pretty close.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, a guy that pretty much owned everybody, Tony Gwynn. How'd you do against Tony? Lefty, lefty.
I actually struck him out looking, which I about fell over on the mound when I did it. But I actually did pretty good. I think he got like three or four hits out of like maybe 15.
Yeah, 2 for 6. 2 for 6, not bad. What about Hall of Famer Roberto Alomar?
Roberto Alomar, I only faced him a couple of times. I'm thinking like maybe three times. He probably got one hit.
1 for 7, not bad. Couple more. I got a good one here, and it's Lance Berkman when he was with the Astros.
He killed me. He was like 9 for 11, something like that.
Boy, you're good. 5 for 7 with a double, 7-14.
Yeah.
So you only gave up 60 home runs, and there was only two players that hit two home runs off of you. Do you know those two guys?
Probably either Colburn. Greg Colburn might be one of them. I don't know. And Javi Lopez might be another, and Chipper Jones.
Chipper Jones was one of them, and Sammy Sosa was the other one.
That's right. Back-to-back days in Chicago. Hey, Tree, it was my birthday. I got roofied.
You had it. Just give one up. Go ahead. Fire it in there, especially both those guys. So my last one I'm going to leave you with is Preston Wilson.
I owned him. I think he struck out almost every at bat.
He did. That was the best one. 0 for 14. So good stuff right there, though, Steve. Wow. I mean, I love asking pitchers and hitters these questions at the end of the interview because it's amazing how we remember some of the hitters and just like the opposite way, how the hitters remember some of the pitchers. And you know who kind of gave you trouble on the mound, and some guys you just said, I could throw anything I want and they'll miss it. So a good career for you, Steve. Just highlighting your career, what can you remember about it, and what can you say about a great 11-year major league career?
Well, I got to do it as a player. I got to meet and play with some of the best players in the world, and that was amazing just to learn from those people. I had some of the best managers with Felipe and Boats and Grover and Tony La Russa. I mean, I got to learn so much about baseball, and like I said, so many pitching coaches and so many great just great teammates and things that you learn, and the city and the fans that you get to meet. I mean, it just changed your life. I mean, you go from the small Amish country, Amish town to, big city, big lights. And, I'm sitting there going like, wow. And just the people, how welcoming they were to you everywhere. And, they just want to talk baseball. And I think that's what we're missing in our game today is the actual like player fan interactions. And I think we need to get back to that better and make our game great again. And I just think, being with the Giants for my, last 14 years as a coach and, having Brian Sabian and, Mr. Tidrow and those guys all, backed me forever for doing this job. And, I learned so much from, Shane Turner's and Fred Stanley's and even yourself, Tree, when I get to come into fantasy camp and we talk pitching and about ways, the old school guys used to hold the ball and listen to Vita Blue and, sit with Willie Mays in the clubhouse and talk to him about baseball. That's the stuff I cherish. And just see how my family, how they treated my kids, just see how they treated my mom and dad, how, how they just made everybody, relax and enjoy baseball. And that's what makes this game so special and that it will be missed. And now I get to go and teach a bunch of college kids how to, how we do it in the pros. And hopefully I can, warp some minds and, make some kids a good professional or whatever they're going to do in life, but learn through this great game of ours and teach them about teamwork and, and all that kind of good stuff. So I just want to, tell everybody thank you. And I want to tell the old, Giants Nation, it was awesome, awesome playing for them. Like I said, they treated me with the most up-to respect. And every day I went out there, I told the rubber and I said, I'm coming after you. And if you beat me, I'll tip my hat to you. It wasn't one day I regretted, so that's the way I looked at it.
Well, I tell you what, Steve, Giant fans will always remember you are forever Giant in all our hearts, and we want to wish you all the best of luck at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. I know I'll be in touch with you about that, and we just want to thank you again for all the 14 years as being a professional pitching coach, and you will be a total success as a head coach in your next endeavor. But thanks again, Steve, for your time, and we'll definitely stay in touch.
Remember last year what we say in Squirrel Nation over here in Richmond, have fun, go nuts. Okay, and we enjoy that. You have a great day, and thank you guys for everything, and thanks for the beautiful conversation today, Bill. I appreciate it.
We appreciate your time. That was Steve Klein on Extra Innings, and we'll be right back on KNBR, the sports leader.